That's a lot. That's a hell of a lot.
He kind of reminds me a bit.
That's crazy. Man, X, you want to talk about a classic, man? Let's see, you probably gonna be able to put it.
Oh,
and it's funny because I'm from Georgia, but like,
ain't never been.
I never went because like I went to the AU, right? So we talking about Freak Neat. I went to Morehouse, right? I went to Morehouse in 98. 98, there was no more Freak Neat. So it was like, I was like, oh, it won't matter. I don't need to go to Freak Neat. I'm going to be up there, you know, because I know I'm going to school. So I just go to Freak Neat when I go to school. And shut it down. City shut all that shit down, bro. Yeah.
They had brought it back, didn't they?
A while ago. They tried to bring it back or something, but it didn't work out.
It wasn't the same.
Yeah,
I'm going to tell you, the crazy thing is, okay, so, you know, Atlanta had Freak Neat. In Miami, we had Splashdown. Daytona had Daytona Bike Week. Not Bike Week.
Black Bike Week.
Black Bike Week. You know, that when, mm-hmm. when that weekend, man, it was, you know, if you on Daytona, like, it was just crazy.
Something like
a bunch
that.
Of black naked females walking around all day. And they used to always try to compare them, you know, but the difference was, you know, in Atlanta, the Freak Neat, it was just bigger because it had a bigger audience. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people from around the country came. You know what I'm saying? Splashdown was like, okay, it's a bunch of local chicks. Might get some out-of-town chicks pop up. You know, they going to put on their bikinis and they, you know, yeah, Splashdown was wild. I ain't going to lie. Splashdown, man, if you went to Splashdown and you couldn't grab nothing from Splashdown, shame on you. I don't know what to tell you. Shame on you.
The crazy shit is like, I never went, right? Like, I never went. And I seen the videos, though, right? Like, so I saw, like, Black Biker Weekend. And I'm like, yo, fam, they is going insane out here, right? Like, this is rated X. Like, yo, this is a lot. This is in the streets in broad daylight. And, you know, I got an older sister. So my sister is 9 years older than me, bro. So when it came to the Freak Neat video, I was like, nah, I think I'm going to pass. I don't want to have to see my sister out there acting a goddamn donkey, embarrassing her family like that. So I was like, nah, let me not. I wasn't too worried about Daytona. I wasn't worried about Daytona too much, but definitely Freak Neat. I was like, boy, you might uncover some footage that Daytona, the family never want to see.
Boy, if anybody got footage of Daytona Biker Weekend or even Splashdown, man, I tell you what, do not publish it, boy, because it's going to be a lot of people saying, I know you weren't talking about, you know you talking about this generation, because
right.
girls back then, they Bruh. Was,
oh, it's they didn't some have of their
moments on there. Man.
Exactly. Yeah, busting it wide open in the middle of the street in the daylight.
Streets.
I'm talking about labias. Okay, in the middle of the street.
Dog, I would tell you because it's so crazy because, you know, once you get to Daytona, man, you know, it's one strip. So it's like traffic is just the dumbest thing because you literally got one strip up and down. So you're going to be in that strip in your car all day. And then, you know, you got women just jumping out and say, well, we just going to walk until we find a spot. And they just walking in the street with bikinis on. And you see dudes in the car jumping out the window, trying to get the girls. And the girls start, they ain't called it twerking back then. I don't even know what the hell they called it. Man, it was called shaking ass.
It was popping it was called pussy popping. And they were most certainly
pussy popping,
popping
pussy
that pee. For sure. They're supposed to be doing a documentary, right? Hulu, I think. They're supposed to be doing a documentary on Freak Neat.
Freak Neat. Somehow, whoever got the footage of it, I mean, I don't even know why would they even do it. I mean, I guess just to talk about it. Me personally, I would have just let that footage sit, man. Like, nah, that's it.
I think, well, see, that's the thing. Like, I remember back in the day, bro, you could get, like, your hands on just, like, a bootleg copy. Like, it wasn't that crazy to just get, like, a bootleg copy of, you know, just like a bullshit, somebody like VHS. I mean, yeah, they would have the VHS camcorders and they would be down there and they would just be recording all this stuff. So like me and my homie, that's how I saw the Daytona one. It was, you know, such and such productions, something real cheap, nothing crazy. But them boys had like, a couple of camcorders, go out there and just be showing the dudes riding the bikes, the girls busting it open and, you know, put a little music behind it. And back then, bro, they used to do this shit with a screen with like, when they flip scenes, it would do like a whole spin. And that was like fancy technology back then. That was like, oh, wow, look at that. That was top-notch editing back then.
I remember at Splashdown, man, that's when you had a little fat camcorders, man, the little fat, small ones. My brother them gave me that. They like, man, we going out here to the beach to, you know, it was at Virginia Key Beach then. So, man, and I'm walking around with the little fat mini camcorder just recording everything. I'm like, oh, boy, look at that ass right there.
How long was that going on?
They didn't even let you pull in all of them.
Say what? Freaknik was probably.
Yeah, how long was it going on?
From the late 80s. Freaknik was from the late 80s to about 97.
Yeah, about 10 years. I was gonna say, I think it literally ended like the year before I went to Morehouse. Yo, the city shut it down. It was just like, nah, bro. Like it's too ratchet. It's too explicit. It's clogging up the streets.
At one point, it had got kind of violent because you start getting a bunch of people from different areas crowded in one place.
Yeah, the Miami boys.
That's why. Yeah.
The Miami boys was coming up to clash with the A-Town cast. That's really what I used to hear. That was the major clash.
Man. I can't have all these girls out here, man. All these boy, look at them girls. Listen, that's when I knew Atlanta had some guys. Like, boy, Atlanta got some. I'm in high school. I'm like, boy, Atlanta got some babies.
Oh yeah, talent, man.
What
talent
the hell we doing down here, man? We tripping. I'm like, man, I want to go up there.
See, Miami.
Yeah, right, man. That's when
Miami always captivated me with kind of, you would get the, in Miami, you'll find a lot of the exotic looks. So you'll find, you know, your Latinas, a lot of your biracial, you know, mixed joints, beautiful chicks. But they were like, a lot of them were, like, not, I want to say slim, let's say slim thick. You go to the A.
Pure chocolate out there.
Bro, listen here. And it's ass. It is hellified ass and flat stomachs. And you're like, what in the fuck? What is this? I remember I went out there to Morehouse. I was like, bro, I've never seen this many fine ass black women with all this ass and stomachs look like they got damn near, you can do laundry on it. I'm like, this is insane. I've never seen no shit like this. That's why. You know, that's why I tell people Dre got that famous line, one at Clark, one at Spelman. It's because it was such a talent-rich area that you could, it's for the pickings. It's up to you. If you want three, you got three. If you want four, you got four. If you want one, you got one. But the talent, it was no way to keep up with them because the competition is better there because you have, you know, you have a high homosexual population there, right? Atlanta's kind of like the you know, at least at a point in time, it's kind of like the gay capital of the East Coast. It was like the San Francisco of the East, right? So you got a lot of them there that's not really rocking. And then you got so many women was migrating there because it was good career opportunities and cheap living. Same thing you find in Houston. So they outnumbered us so bad. It was like 5-1. That was the ratio they gave me in 98 when I was up there. They told, because I remember going to briefing like as a freshman. And it's like, listen, y'all are outnumbered. There's no reason for you to ever catch no case. Here are the rules you need to abide by. This is how you need to conduct yourself. Make sure you're verifying ages. You know, it's like, it's absolutely no reason. It happens, but it's absolutely no reason for you to catch no case here, man. It's too many women. Absolutely too many women. And they was just telling us about on campus. I think there was like 5-1 on campus and like 8-1 off campus. So he was like, bro, fish in a barrel. Just do your thing. And no need to get out here and get stupid. So you mix that culture and you put that out in the streets. And then, like I said, it was just a, it's a ratchet affair, and then you got guys coming, you know, like I say, you got them boys hopping in the road from Miami sliding through. So they hitting the road and coming on up and seeing what the talent is up there. And, you know, you got your locals, you got your Savannah Cats, you know, you got people coming down from like Carolina, you got them Charlotte boys dropping down. So it became.
Yeah, I was just about to say that can't leave out the South Carolina boys.
No, nah. Carolina going to fall through too. And then, yeah, I think that's when you started. I think the violence started cranking up because you got a lot of young male ego. You know what I mean? And we fight about nothing, really. It really don't be nothing. It's just
nothing.
It's just nothing. You have too much testosterone back then. That's all. You just a little too keyed up, bro.
It was, man. Look, I'm gonna tell you because I got into it. I mean, with a couple dudes, it's damn. Them niggas got all the hoes over there with them. Nah, dog. This ain't how it's supposed to be. They deal with us. So you know, like you say, your male ego say, man, I'm finna walk over there and just grab one of them from them. Unless you know you gonna do that, your boys do that, them niggas looking at you crazy, and it just, oh, it's finna go down.
Nah, it's a clash of the titans.
Everybody saying, well, hold on, you ain't even a disrespect. Like, it just, you know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, it was like, man, okay, we gonna squabble, and we gonna get up out of there. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, it didn't really get to the
game. Yeah, it wasn't like murder yet.
Like, a lot of business started getting into the way. That's when the murder starts happening. But it was all fun. They're like, well, we gonna fight. We gonna go back home and tell a good story.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
Times have changed. Yeah,
like it's the same way. Like more weekend or Labor Day weekend down here in Miami. Everybody, you know, everybody gonna be on South Beach. Yep. It's gonna be a bunch of out of towners. So you know the locals will go down there and post and try to grab something. Hey man, look. No, hey, we gonna take y'all to the real Miami. You know what I'm saying? And y'all gonna take us to the hood? Yeah, come on, we gonna take y'all to the hood. We gonna go to the club. Duh, 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 duh. And they vibe. You know what I'm saying? It's like we ain't staying on the beach because we don't belong here. We gonna go back to our side of the neck of the woods.
I can't wait to see what this documentary got, man. I hope your mama ain't on there.
I'm telling you,
if she is, man, you better just don't let the streets find out, boy.
Hey, depending on who's directing it, we gonna see, because if it ain't people from us, then I don't think it's gonna be what we think.
It's gotta be us.
Yeah,
I mean, it's gonna be blurs. It's gonna be blurs. it's gonna have the squares now. Yeah, they're gonna have the squares up there.
Yeah.
You can't tell that story. The whole point of that story is to show how wild it was getting in the streets. Which, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's no different than like going to Mardi Gras. In New Orleans. I've been there once. I won't go back again because Mardi Gras is, and New Orleans is, boy, that is sexual deviant headquarters.
I feel like that's a demonic.
It's too much, man. It's too much in New Orleans, bro.
As soon as you get there, boy, it's like, oh, shit.
Man, look, I bust a corner in New Orleans, bro, and I saw some shit you can't unsee, you know, and it was like, ah, man, yeah, I don't want to be here no more, bro. Like, this is good for me. I never went back. I've been back to New Orleans, but never during Mardi Gras again. So, yeah, whoever's going to tell that story, they're going to give you the culture of it, man, the music, the cars, the women, you know.
They need footage. I know they go, what?
The footage is going to be grainy, but they got that footage. Yeah, they got that footage because I know
footage of that.
Yeah, because I know like I said, you might go down to the flea market and buy it for $10 back in the day. Old Black Biker Weekend, old. So I know they had because I seen it. So somebody gonna probably take that footage, try to polish it up a little bit. They probably gonna get some Atlanta guys that was coming up around that time to kind of tell their story. You know, they may try to get. You know, like a Jeezy or a T.I. maybe give an interview. They would have been just like me. But that would have been their city, though.
They definitely going to have, like, Jermaine Dupri. I mean,
J.D. for sure,
like,
yeah.
He ain't knowing that. I feel like it's him. Too Short even came out and publicly said, like, he was there. Like, so they got to probably have him on there.
Yeah, Too Short. Yeah.
Who else was around that 90, the early 90s in Atlanta?
He left Oakland and because he's been living in Atlanta forever. Like, he's been, Too Short been in Atlanta probably most of his fame, I would say, like most of
yeah,
most
but time, I said, going like, on almost 20 years.
You're right. By the time he actually was a name in the game, he was he had done posted up in the A. Yeah, it's gonna be legendary, man. And for me being a kid during those times, not being able to participate, I was ready, man. Like you said, I think it ended in 96 or 97. I was ready, dog. I was like, all right, man, I'm finally gonna get to see Freak Meek, man.
Boy was 6 years old.
Man, I was out there, man. I was right there, man. I was right there. I was in the AU.
What'd you say, Meezy? You was 6 years old?
I was 6 years old, 6, 7 years old.
You was still walking around with Pampers, man.
Peeping on himself.
I definitely found out about that shit, though. I definitely found out about it. Like, middle school.
And I'm gonna tell you the beautiful thing about it is good times. You're not gonna hear too many bad moments in that documentary. If you do, it's like towards the end when it just got too out of hand, man.
Listen, bro, I enjoyed some good ratchetness myself, but I understand like ratchetness must be controlled. You can't just have the ratchetness pouring all out over the city. It's got to be a little more contained than that, man. So I think that's what Freak Neat really, that's kind of was the death of Freak Neat. It was just like, bro, this is spilling out.
Freak Neat, to be honest, created something else for the other people. Remember when they had when they created their little thing with the spring girls gone wild.
Yeah.
They created that from Freak Neat. Like, it's like,
your cousin,
we gonna go start filming a bunch of white girls pulling their titties out and stuff. That was happening at Freak Neat.
Cuz got bammed up too. He was like the dude. He had made a shit ton of money, but I think he was some kind of, I don't know if he was a scammer. I definitely know they hit him with some sexual assault type stuff. I knew his name was Joe something. Yeah, they bammed dude up, man.
I think he was like scamming or something like that.
Something of that nature. Yeah, he got caught up in a couple of things, man. Boy, what a fool. You made all that money. And the thing was, like the girls ain't get a cent, bro. The girls weren't getting nothing. He had them, their ass bamboozled. What cuz name was Joe Francis. Yeah, Joe Francis, man. Bro was getting to it, man. He was out here getting all that bread and they wasn't getting a penny. And then he down.
Man, I remember I seen them boys recording on South Beach one time. I think it had to be Labor Day weekend, and I seen them recording. I'm like, oh boy, they got the girls going wild out here. Boy, where the girls at? We finna follow the camera, boy, because wherever they going, the girls are getting wild.
Bro, listen to this dude. Listen to this dude rap sheet, bro. This man has been at various times been convicted of tax evasion, bribery, false imprisonment, assault causing great bodily injury, dissuading a witness, and record keeping violations, and has pleaded no contest to child abuse and prostitution. This man was a slap out degenerate. This man was the worst human being walking. Man, they talking about Freak Neat. Sheesh. This dude was an animal. Get him off the streets. He probably out now, though. I'm sure he is. I'm sure he out living good, bro. That's crazy as hell. But anyways.
My bad. I shouldn't even brought that up. I ain't know he was.
I knew he was. Nah, you good, though. I just, when you brought him up, because you're right. I would have to give Freak Neat credit for Girls Gone Wild. I think they saw some of what was going on. Because, like I said, I remember seeing the videos of that stuff. So I'm sure he said, man, I could do that. Because you go down, because, like, if you do the white version, then you go to Panama City. That was, like, the big thing back in the day. Everybody used to go to Panama City. And they got a week in Daytona, too. It's like a regular bike weekend, and then it's black bike. Well, regular, I don't know, regular, whatever. It's biker weekend, and then it's black biker weekend. So they have a lot of spring break stuff going on there.
The black biker weekend was in cahoots with, it was spring break for college, for black college, because, mm-hmm. Bethune is right down the street.
Right,
you know
around the road,
saying?
Right.
So, like, right. Oh, well, you know, everybody from in Miami, for a lot of them who got people that goes up there, they say, man, y'all come up for the weekend. You know, they got the bike weekend, and You know, they gonna pull out the donks, pull out the Chevys, ride up there, showing off the cars, and you know, they got the bikes, and it's just like that, and you know, girls everywhere. You know what I'm saying? So
before we get out of here, Rob,
good times, man.
Rob, how old are you? 38?
No, I'm 40.
40?
Yeah.
Oh, so you just but you probably was overseas and shit, man.
What happened?
Nah, I was just thinking, like, during any of these, was you able to attend any of that stuff?
Well, like,
yeah, like Biker Weekend, Freak Week, Splashdown.
Nah, I wasn't able to attend any of it, man.
I know that breaks your heart, man.
Yeah. I had a lot of homeboys that went. Video footage.
See, I'm about to say, look at this car.
Yeah, that's all it was.
You was the man back then, though. And then I'm going to let it be. If you had a camcorder,
he
was the man.
Yeah.
Women just, I don't know, back then, they would just take their clothes off.
Yeah.
Because back then, that was like a luxury item. That was like a luxury item. That was like
clothes off.
That was a flex back in the day. If you had one of those, man, you lost.
Because if
everybody got a camcorder. You're right. Yeah, not everybody's got one of those.
It was almost like the brick phone, you know what I'm saying? If you had the brick phone, you was the man. You was the man, you know what I'm saying? So if you had the camcorder, you was the man. And you was the man, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like, okay, but not everybody got one. But for some reason, these girls know if they see a dude walking with a camera, we got to show out.
Man, listen, I remember my homeboy had one. He had one of the early ones.
What is this?
Flipped the camera out. 26 degrees.
Like a little widescreen joint. That, don't have that one. That was the one. It went up for sure, but it wasn't creepy. What up? Welcome back to 26 Degrees. Your Miami Hurricanes football podcast, straight from the barbershop. I want to actually get a barbershop one day, not to ever cut a head of hair, just to sit down and talk shit. I don't care if anybody ever get a haircut in my shop. I just want us to be able to sit down and rap. So that's what we doing here, like we always do about this time. It's your boy Larian here with my Cody Turnpike Music. Please. Say the turnpike. Say what's up to the people.
Please say the turnpike. What's good, world, man? Happy Easter to everybody, man. Listening, y'all probably hear this like Monday or Tuesday, but man, happy belated Easter to everybody, man. Yes, sir. We got a real field general X with us as usual, man. What it do?
Yo, what's good? What's good, everybody? Welcome back. We back at it again.
There you go.
Be back at it again, man. Glad to be back on the show, as you know, as always.
No doubt. And we got our guy. Rob, what's your rank?
Staff Sergeant, E6.
We got a field general. We got a staff sergeant.
Yes, sir.
D-Rob is here with us, man. Kicking it, man. Appreciate it, brother, pulling up as usual, his insight, his takes. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't even say extended. He's part of the fam at this point. We're getting a little hurricane talk, man.
Already. Hey, and happy Easter, man.
Happy Easter, man. Measy over there cooking it up for the fam. Tell him what you're cooking, Measy. Measy told me before y'all got here, man. Tell him what you're cooking.
Yeah, I got something going on in there, man. I got some collard greens, some black eyed peas, macaroni and cheese.
Okay.
Some cornbread and some ham. Chef Boy all Measy, man. I'm in there.
Yeah.
You got the Geechee. You got the Geechee going on today, huh?
Yes.
That's the Geechee.
That's my boy. I told him. I seen that boy had the collard greens. He had the greens on the Instagram story talking about time to cut these greens up. I said, cut your ass, boy. I forgot about it being Easter.
Yeah, I cut them last night. Yes,
sir. Hey, listen. Early this morning when I woke up, man, Measy go tweet, he has risen, man. And I was like,
Oh. Man, what is Meezy? I got his ass too. He had just tweeted it, and I was on the 26th account. I was like, yo, TMI, bro.
Hey, I knew that was
Larry
on.
I knew you knew it was me.
Ain't nobody got Larry on.
Chill out, bro. First thing in the morning, he is risen. Yo. Yo, take that to the bathroom, my boy. We don't need to know all that. But anyways, yeah, man, let's get into it a little bit. I guess, man, we don't bury the lead over here. We'll get right into the biggest news since we last spoke with you all. It obviously surrounds quarterbacks. So, you know, we'll start with the one that was a gut punch to the fan base, to the coaching staff, I would imagine. Somewhat. I really just feel like this coaching staff is really resilient, and I do not believe this recruitment to be over. But Aaron Nolan decided that he was going to go ahead and go to Ohio State. And some people, and I did initially as well. So for a little bit of clarity, his recruitment with Ohio State wasn't new. And basically, to my understanding, the offer was more of a formality of just getting them on campus. But he had been being recruited by them for some time now. So ultimately, he decided that was the best decision for him. He stated that, you know, Ohio State had a good culture. They had done a good job of putting black quarterbacks, developing black quarterbacks. And I'm assuming he means, you know, getting them to the league. So I had to respect that decision as well. And I think, you know, I think personally, you know, I heard a few narratives out there like it wasn't going to be Miami. It was never Miami. I don't necessarily believe that. I do think we were there in the fight. I do think the Ohio State thing was cooking a little bit longer, though, yeah, obviously, than we thought. I only had some doubts about the situation because it was kind of almost like dominoes falling type situation because he wasn't their number one selection at QB. He's been our number one guy on the board the entire time. So I was hoping that would kind of play in. What'd you say, me? What'd you say?
No, I said, I said Nolan was like Ohio State third option.
Right. Yeah. True indeed. But I understand, you know, like I said, I understand why he did it, why he, you know, thought that might have been the best decision for him. Thoughts on that particular situation?
Well, so this Miami was definitely getting that call that he's going to end up commit to UM. What happened was, you know, the Ohio State, like you said, they still was jabbing at him, you know what I'm saying, but telling him, look, we want you to come, and we're going to present everything for you to show you that we want you to be our guy. Ohio State lost their one and two quarterback. So regardless of his one, two, or three, if you four, I mean, it was just a smart move for Aaron Nolan. Like, okay, C.J. Stroud is about to get drafted in the first round.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, not to mention the previous season, they just got Brandon Enos and Cardinal Tate and I forget the other top receiver. They got like four top receivers in one class. Oh, they got Jeremiah Smith, the number one receiver in my same class, and then they got the number four receiver in my same class. I mean, there's no brainer, you know what I'm saying, for Miami fans that's saying, oh, well, Ohio State don't develop quarterbacks in the NFL. That's not the objective for him. The objective is to get to the NFL. And guess what? Ohio State is doing that. They get the players in the NFL. You know what I'm saying? So once he went on the Ohio State visit, which was Monday, I was like, oh, man. Okay, let me wait and see. Nah, he didn't go on Monday. He went over the weekend. But Monday, I instantly got a call saying, hey, things could get interesting. Then Tuesday, I heard that he was silently committed to Ohio State. And I was like, oh, well, okay. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. You know what I'm saying? I basically got on the space. Wednesday and told everybody, yeah, he silently committed Ohio State. So go ahead and be mad right now. Don't get mad.
They wouldn't take him unless.
Yeah, I think your audio fading in and out a little bit, man.
What you about to say?
Say it again now.
You hear me now?
Yeah, go ahead. All right, man, get your ass out of here with this bootleg ass string and can internet you got going on over there.
Yeah, whatever. Man.
You were straight before. I don't know what's happening. Try leaving and coming back. I'll put you back in. But go ahead. I'm sorry. As we talking to each other. Go ahead. What you were saying?
Yes, yeah, so I was just telling people, man. Like I said, when I got on the space and everybody was like, man, what's up? I'm like, well, look, you know, he decided to commit to Ohio State. And then Thursday, while I'm at practice, I get a call while I'm at practice. He's like, well, look, UM is trying to make it interesting with him. And I'm like, okay, well, let's see how it goes. You know what I'm saying? So people probably going around saying it was NIL. Well, apparently, if it was based on NIL, he'll be committed to Miami right now. You know what I'm saying? It was based on that. But look at the marketing scheme that he has at Ohio State. His name is Air. Ohio State has Nike.
Nike.
You know what I'm saying?
It's Damn, just Jordan, don't they?
Sense for him.
No, I think they Nike.
They with Nike.
They're oh, okay, Nike. Okay.
They're not Jordan they're brand.
No. I mean, even if they Jordan,
still Nike. Air,
you know what I'm saying?
It's Jordan, you're right. Yeah.
So it's
even
like,
better.
You know, you just got to look at the marketing scheme that, you know what I'm saying? And this is what's going to happen to a lot of kids coming out of high school. It's marketing towards, hey, which school can market my NIL better? You know what I'm saying? And not to say you couldn't have, but it just makes a lot more sense. It's easier.
And
to
I mean
say,
that
and Nike. And then,
yeah, then you got to go big picture. I mean, that's why I said us losing Ohio State. I mean, none of the battles we want to be in, right? That's if we're going to be doing big boy, you know, big game hunting, those are the battles you got to go up against. You know, and I'm going to tell you now, as a Hurricanes fan and a fan of Mario, I am a Mario Cristobal fan. I like his relentless pursuit. I don't expect this to be over, and I don't expect them to give up on other guys that they like, even with, you know, which we'll get into a little bit in a second, the commitment that we did receive. The whole plan is to take two QBs. We need four scholarship QBs. Now, it may end up going to a transfer portal situation to get those four, but nonetheless, we'll be looking to get four quarterbacks. You got to look at the situation with, you know, TBD will be out of here next year. So then if you otherwise, all you are going to have is Jakari, Emory Williams. And then the other quarterback that we signed in this class, it's only three scholarship QBs. That's too thin. You need four. Got to have four. Because you never know when an injury could occur.
Yeah, I think we're gonna go portal regardless. I think that even if we do grab two high school quarterbacks, I still think they're gonna bring somebody in from the portal because you want to give Jacurry that competition. I think if they go on portal,
it's gonna be right after spring. The only way they would go portal is if they're not able to get that guy, that other quarterback in the class. You know what I'm saying? Because they going to run with Jakari next year. It don't matter who the hell they bring in.
You talking about after this spring?
No, I'm talking about after this year.
Like, okay, once the spring is over.
No, I'm talking about spring. Because what's the point of doing that if you could just wait for a better one to come out at the end of the season?
What they really want to do is they want to sit Jakari. They don't want him to be the second man behind TBD. You know what I'm saying? So they could hold on to that 1 year red shirt with Jakari. You know what I'm saying? Jakari is not a red shirt player. He's played last year. So if we could red shirt Jakari and bring in somebody who could just be available for us after TBD, you know, if we do some blowouts and stuff like that, just in case he might get injured, let's not risk a red risk that red shirt with Jakari. You know what I'm saying? Because you want them to develop a full year and then say, okay, next year we ride with you, Jakari. This is you. And that's how you go. That's the plan. Could they possibly go for a Porter kid next year? Absolutely. But I think they do it now. You know what I'm saying? Because I just think they want Jakari. Jakari's going to be the guy next year. It don't matter who they bring in. I mean, they got to bring in somebody like maybe what's Peyton Manning nephew? What's his name? Who's at Texas?
Oh,
yeah, somebody like that who does this.
What's the chances that you get somebody good though right after this spring?
The chances are I don't think the chances are good because of the fact that spring is over. I think that if you do, you're not going to get a starter.
Right.
I'm gonna put it like this. I think you more than likely going to probably get like a second or third string guy from another team. What I suggested with what they should
get somebody who's battling for a backup job.
Yeah. But I would you would want to get somebody who's not looking to necessarily be a starter, at least be the backup to if something go down. I said that he should go after somebody from Houston. You know what I'm saying? He should go after somebody he knows because all the kids that's on Houston roster, he recruited. You know, Shannon Dawson recruited. So if they know your offense and it's three guys over there, hey, let me go grab that third guy. He already knows the offense. He'll get caught up to speed real quick. At least we know that he's already in the system and he knows what's going on, and you can supplement him. You can put him in as probably the second or the third string, you know, if you're trying to do that. That's what I would do. Somebody that's familiar with all. You don't want to bring in somebody who's not familiar with the offense that has to learn it and then get caught up. No, go to Houston. Well, I'm not saying that they probably ain't already thinking about that, but, hey, you know the offense. You come in, it's less they got to worry about. Hey, make it happen.
I'm with you there, but one of the things that we're hearing is similar to what we heard with the Lashley situation. This is a simple enough offense. Like, it's a very simple offense. So I don't think they necessarily have to know the offense. I think you could pick up the offense fast. I do agree that a transfer would be kind of significant because I don't want to just hand the keys to Jakari next year. I want him to earn it. I have heard good things that he's doing better. I just need him to have a little pressure on him too. Not think that – because, again, like I said, if it goes as it is right now, then, yeah, you got no choice but to go with Jakari next year. And who's his threat? Emery Williams or Judd Anderson, right, who was definitely a project guy. So there's no competition. Steel sharp as steel. There's nobody going to be pushing him. So I do hope we go out and get a guy to push him, not just be a backup. You know, like I mentioned a little bit pre-show, I don't know if it'll make it on this. Ole Miss has a plethora of quarterbacks there. And I think that's a cabinet. You got to go, you know, knock on the door, open the cabinet and see.
They got like three starters over there.
Right. So I'm looking at, hey, can we get a guy over there to at the very least? Because like I said, if he's a younger guy, like a sophomore, you know, redshirt sophomore, something like that, there could be a true quarterback competition next year. If we don't get that caliber of a guy, then yeah, we're just handing it to Jakari and hoping A, he stays healthy, and B, he excels. Otherwise, we'll be running into a situation where it's like, holy shit, we're way too young at the quarterback position. And we're in trouble if anybody gets hurt. So, you know, it creates an interesting dynamic. We did get Judd Anderson, a guy that, you know, nobody except the Anderson family is excited about him coming to Miami. Nothing personal against kid. I'm never going to troll the kid. That's a Kane. I'm never going to take shots at the kid. That's a Kane. But he's clearly a project, right? Like, he had like 1,700 yards, 15 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, something like 15, that.
Like 1,500 yards, 15 touchdowns, 13 INTs.
Something like that, right, yeah. So, I mean,
but
absolutely.
That is, but hold on. But the thing with that is that's his first year running a spread scheme. The year before that, he was in the wing T. Right. He was in the wing T his whole. So, I mean, the stats ain't there. The stats ain't there. It's not an excuse for it, but, like, we have to see how he – if he develops, you know,
in
what I'm
saying? Second, right, senior year.
Because if you're senior year, you put up another 15, 13.
Is bad. I don't think most people will complain is bad if the last two quarterback commits we have are pretty much projects. You know what I'm saying? So who?
Right, but see, Jakari was considered like
him up with someone else.
But Jakari was a four-star too, though. So, like, his project,
but he's
no. I said the last two commits.
His project isn't the same as
Emory. Right.
I'm talking about Emory and Judd. That's our last two quarterback commits right now.
Oh, okay. I got you.
So here's the thing. His right. thing with Emery Williams, if you people are calling Emery Williams a project, Emery Williams probably may be our best natural passer to come to you as a quarterback since maybe Brad Kier.
Oh yeah, all I've heard is good things. That's all I've heard is good things about him. I have not
best natural passer. So and after Brad Kier, we had y'all can name after Brad Kier, we had Rozier, we had
Nicosi.
Cozy.
Jaren Williams.
Jaren Williams, King, Jake TBD.
Right, right.
None of those guys are natural passers like Emery Williams. So a project, I don't know if that's the proper term to call him, a project.
Well, it could be a diamond in the rough. Because his numbers weren't great either, but a lot of what I heard around Emery was his talent sucked. His talent around him sucked. Yeah, one guy that was a UGA commit, I don't know if that went through.
It was he went to Texas A&M.
He ended up going to
Texas A&M. Okay.
A&M.
Okay. But yeah, other than that, it wasn't a very talent rich roster, and sometimes you have to consider that as well. And that's why, as a guy who's just a fan, I just want to trust the coach's evaluations. Of course, I'm not happy about this take, right? But I'm not sad either, because I don't think that I know more than these guys know. And like D-Rob said, this kid is first year in a spread offense. It's coming from wing T. So he's learning. He's learning on the fly. He's taking some bumps and bruises. Now he has a full offseason to learn more, come back, and be the guy his senior year. And this is the thing, and I'm not predicting this because I have no idea, but what if he goes out this year and he throws for 35-6? Now everybody's going, oh, yeah. Now the tune changes. This could be an early discovery. I'm not telling you to be excited. I'm saying temper the disappointment and the, oh, woe is me, what is we going to do? Come on, bro. Relax.
If every fan he throws mostly, for the same thing this year, mostly, you think Miami takes him still?
No. You got to prove it on the field.
I tell you what. Well, then where we go then?
I mean, we can't knock Emery Williams, because Emery Williams, his senior year, he had over 2,600 passing yards, 23 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and over 60.
Yeah, it was better than his junior year.
Yes.
Yeah, but that don't blow your mind, right?
Yeah,
it's
Nolan.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not that.
But okay, so listen. Judd Anderson, he is exactly the same quarterback that the Florida Gators took years ago, named Kyle Trask. The same exact quarterback. Played in a wing T system, and once he got to college, got developed by a coach who understood how to coach quarterbacks. Kyle Trask goes on to have the best statistic stats at the University of Florida ever had. He's exactly the same guy. So do not let a certain fan base get you going because he's a 3-star. Kyle Trask was actually a 2-star, and he went on to have the best year quarterback ever had at Florida. Like Le'Veon say, I'm not happy about it. You know what I'm saying? Because I watched the guy film, and I'm just like, you know, I feel like it's better local talent that we could have took instead of him. You know, but I'm letting the staff cook. If the staff feel like that's what they want, guess what? The staff, that's what they want. They the ones getting paid the millions of dollars. And I get paid millions of dollars. If I did, it'd be different, but...
I think Mario is letting him get his guy, because I don't think Mario would try to have pursue him. I think that's a Shannon Dawson guy. I think he allowed him to pick that kind of QB because we just heard his name like what, a week and a half ago, maybe 2 weeks ago. You know what I'm saying?
He was out there. I remember it's probably been at least, I wouldn't say 2 weeks. I'd say probably close.
You talking about Judd?
Yeah.
It took him a while to get on campus, I think.
Once Shannon Dawson got here, Judd was on the radar. And look, to go back to what you just said, Rob, and this is why I understood why we didn't get Aaron Nolan. I say, just look at the offensive coordinator, quarterback coach, Dawson. Dawson has never been at a school where he needs to recruit that high-level talent like Aaron Nolan. His talent level was Judd Anderson. That's who he gets.
That's what the programs he was at. Of too. I thought of that.
So it was like, that's what he used to. You know what I'm saying? Maybe this first year, he really got to say, okay, well, let me see if I can do this with this with the same talent that I'm normally. I can go out there and get the top guy. That's something that he just has to prove so far. You know what I'm saying? That's his comfort zone. Well, I could go get me a quarterback that's 6'8". He'll be a project, but the way my system is ran, it's going to work for him.
I can see
you know
that.
What I'm saying? So it's like, yeah, I'm not so mad. TBD. I'm not so mad, but it is what it is. You know what I'm saying?
And then and you'll have TBD, right, who will be the poster child for this offense. And we know TBD could do some things. Last year, the offense sucked. Let's just call it what it is. Gattis was an asshole that just didn't get along with anybody, apparently. And the results on the field were abysmal, right? But we've seen TBD turn it up. And so, you know, we're getting closer to a system that was more conducive to what he did look good in. And to my understanding, will produce a better running game. So what you'll be looking at is that'll be our advertisement to get that that sexier name in this recruiting cycle. And I think that's part of what the staff is banking on. It's like, look, let's not sweat it. Let's go ahead and get Judd. We like Judd. We think Judd could be something possibly in the future if he works hard, studies, and picks up what we're putting down. As far as the big name goes, yeah, Nolan was our guy. All right. Well, that didn't work out. There's a couple other names that they were after at some point. I would anticipate that the goal would be, hey, let's go out here and let's advertise for a quarterback so they can go, well, wait a minute. This definitely ain't the Miami we watched last year. They got something cooking down there. And you have to remember, so far, so good in the trenches. And Mario made it his business this year to beef up that defensive line on the interior specifically. But the O-line did an outstanding job. 2 5-star tackles?
Yeah,
you can't – I mean, you can't draw that. Doing that. Yeah, and that's –
definitely
going to
continue beefing up the O-line.
And the D-line, it all starts there. It all starts there, bro. Me and X was talking right a little there. Bit before the show, and, you know, and I said, hey, look, Georgia won back-to-back with Stetson Bennett. And, oh, that's Georgia. Yeah, but guess what? The reason Stetson Bennett could be Stetson Bennett is Stetson Bennett ain't got to do a lot. Stetson Bennett ain't got to make him. He got monsters in front of him and monsters on the other side. When something does possibly go wrong, he's got a security blanket in that defense. That defense is going to wreak havoc. And why? It starts up front. Another first rounder, a couple of first rounders, excuse me, will be coming off that Georgia defensive front. From their front seven, you'll have a couple that'll be coming off of that. Mario understands that we've got to build it there. Do you want that quarterback? Absolutely. But again, it ain't really necessary. That's why I asked the question on 26 degrees. Yeah. How many elite quarterbacks were in the Final Four? And the answer was one. There was only one. I mean, that was one poll number one. By like 57% or something like that. But that's the truth. It was only CJ Stroud. Everybody else was in. You ain't heard. Right. Stetson Bennett was a walk-on. So what you got to do is build that shit from the trenches. And a lot of quarterbacks are going to have success. Like I said pre-show, Stetson Bennett won't even be drafted. That's a man that won back-to-back titles.
Right.
Yeah.
He won't even be drafted, bro. It ain't that I know he wants you to believe it takes that quarterback. Georgia don't prove. No, it don't. No, it don't. We just need a guy that ain't going to screw up a lot.
It ain't Georgia. Look at TCU just had a quarterback. I mean, I don't think any.
Right. That's what I mean. They made the Final Four.
Yeah, he was a 4-star, but he wasn't elite like that coming out of high school.
Yeah, he wasn't like that. Yeah, he wasn't like that. Right. So, you know.
But going back to what Le'Veon said about the season, I think, you know, if TBD comes out there, 3,500 yards, 30, 40 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, Now the Miami become intriguing because everybody's saying, oh, so this is what they really can do when they have a good system. Now those quarterbacks who committed to other schools gonna start saying, well, yeah, Miami might
especially
be in a position for me to go.
Especially, I'm gonna say if, because I feel like it's been a 26 degrees curse. We speak with too much confidence, and then I get shot in the damn foot. But let's say if we could flip a guy like Jeremiah Smith, who I definitely think is very interested in the program. I think he's a hometown kid in that respect. You know, obviously JoJo, what's JoJo's last name? Trader.
JoJo Trader, yo.
Yeah, JoJo Trader.
Josiah Trader, and it's Jeremiah Smith.
So if you could, you know, intrigue these kind of kids, and like I said, they're both, to my understanding, interested. There's no question that there's interest in staying home. I think all they're looking for is a pulse of an offense, because they saw what last year was, and I don't blame them. They're like, hey, man, coach, show me a little something better, and I probably can stay home. But if that's what y'all putting out next year, I got to go. No offense. Nothing personal, strictly business. So you get some product on the field, and I think you can see some flips down the stretch. So I think this will be a year where it's kind of funny. You know, my Gator counterpart would always argue that Dan Mullen's recruiting was on the field. He's not a tenacious recruiter. Well, you think about this. What if we can get a tenacious recruiter like Mario and some film on field that looks a hell of a lot better than last year? Imagine the possibilities. Imagine what you could possibly get going. You know, we've made some headway, you know, even with a guy like David Stone, who was a foregone conclusion to just go to Oklahoma. If you can get these trenches built up and then we have an identity on offense, all of a sudden, this is a lot more appealing and interesting to these young men. I really do believe, and, you know, X, you could probably speak to it more being around the situation. I think a lot of kids want to stay home. I just think they like, yeah, but if I go here, my career just dies. So if we can just show them that coming here ain't the end all be all, I think you can really see an opportunity for us this season to have a really good class, a very good class. I honestly think advertising needs to happen on the field a little bit. And I think we can do that in several ways. I think the defense will be, create more turnovers this year, be more interesting.
That defense.
And I think the offense will be way more productive. And then all of a sudden, it's like, wait a minute, I can see playing there. And you know Mario's not going away. That's the other thing. You know, the head coach, he's not going nowhere for at least another 3 years. At least. So that's my take on it.
Man. But yeah, that's the talk. You know what I'm saying? A lot of these local kids, man, they would love to stay home. But yeah, again, like, you know, hey man, coach, what y'all gonna do on this field, man? And, you know, Jeremiah Smith, the number one wide receiver in the nation, was just down here this weekend. You know what I'm saying? That's been his whole thing since last season was, man, if Miami could show something on the field, you know, I don't mind staying home. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, Miami has the opportunity to cross over right now. You know what I'm saying? Because if you could land that JoJo, you know what I'm saying? You could land the Jeremiah Chance. You know what I'm saying? If you could land those type of guys at receiver, it becomes interesting for the rest of college football, because the one thing college football don't want is for Miami to land those guys. You know what I'm saying? They don't want Miami to keep landing those guys. If Miami keep landing those guys with the ability for Mario to get the offensive line, and then Coach Joe and Coach JT and Mario to get the defensive line going, We back in that era where Miami is going to be kind of hard, you know what I'm saying, to stop them, because they just getting all the talent. You know what I'm saying? So I think, again, this is the year where they have to advertise on the field. You know what I'm saying? I said it yesterday. Everybody like, oh, well, y'all ain't getting no recruits yet. And I'm like, well, look, I'm not worried about that. My whole thing is let's get on this field. I don't care about recruits, because recruits, we getting them. We going to get them.
Somebody gonna come. Yeah, somebody gonna come. We want the guys we want, and I think it's fair for them to ask for a little. Just show some improvement. You know what I mean? Like that's fair.
They're not asking nothing crazy just to show the offense can move. Like win some few extra games, man. They ain't not trying to tell you to turn it around right now.
Right. They ain't saying go get us a natty coach. They saying look.
Right.
Well, we saw last year. I mean, and as fans, we can all agree 5-7. Losses to Middle Tennessee State, Duke, embarrassed to Florida State. That's not sexy. It was embarrassing. It was such a fall off. And I was like, wow, I can't believe this season went that bad. I really did not see it. I'm just keeping a buck. I did not see that season going that bad. The worst I probably imagined us last year, man, maybe if I'm keeping it a thou, I'm going to keep it a thou. I'm gonna go 8-4 was really the worst I imagined last year. Boy, did reality slap me in the face. So I think that's all these kids are asking.
I'm gonna tell you,
hey coach, go ahead. Go ahead. You got it.
I'm gonna tell you, man. When I seen that the season was gonna be bad, we getting ready to play Southern Mississippi. I'm standing in the tunnel, and Southern Miss getting ready to come outside, man. I see they players, man, and they just talking to each other, like, man, this team, they like, boy, you know, this Miami team soft. They not like that, man. Y'all don't be scared of them. And I'm like, what? I'm like, hold on. This team really talking like that about Miami? And granted, no Miami players here, but I'm like, they ain't supposed to be talking like that about Miami. Hold on. And then I'm like, damn, it's teams like this just really don't, they really not intimidated about Miami no more. And not saying that they supposed to, but you just not going to go to somebody else's house and talk like that.
You're supposed and to be a little natural. And once they got on the field,
I was like, damn, man, yeah.
Well, that's the problem. Like, they are supposed to. Teammate. That's the problem. They are supposed to. But the product on the field don't match up. They supposed to go. Man, it's Miami, man. Bring your A game. Make sure. Nah, it ain't that, bro. We can't live in that past of what was. And so, yeah, they don't fear us. Why should they?
Yeah,
I mean, like I said, why would they?
And we ain't bringing a game, period. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Everybody saying, well, boy, look, Middle Tennessee State, they beat us. They beat us bad. This team went out and created rings for beating Miami.
It was on the ring, bro.
I'll tell you, we moved the meter for every team in the nation because if you beat Miami, it's a topic that you could talk about. Nobody want to talk about, well, you beat Florida. Okay. You beat Florida State. Okay.
Yeah, UCF beat Miami. Used to be in
the whole nation. Right. The whole nation talks about you beat Miami.
Because they love the haters, right? That's lost. What happens.
Miami not even the basketball school, and UConn beat Miami, and that's all they talk about. Boy, UConn beat Miami. Miami went and bought a team, and they, UConn beat them. Well, goddamn, you can't beat 600 teams too.
To get them.
You only talk about, you only gonna talk
and
about.
And Miami. They're older. They were an older team, and they're a traditional basketball powerhouse. So it's like, well, yeah, they were supposed to beat us. They were higher ranked. They were higher seeded. Miami. Only reason I gave Miami a chance is Miami finds different ways to win all the time. That's the one thing I like about that basketball team.
Right,
it was like, you don't know how they're going to beat you tonight, but they can find a way to beat you. And then they ran up against a veteran team that, you know, has done that, they've done their work, and they beat them. But you're right, X, like, don't talk to me about relevancy when I don't care that it's Middleton. They put the score on the ring, man. If it didn't matter, if it was nobody, they wouldn't have took that time. That was their Super Bowl. They didn't win their conference. They put it on the ring. Because you know what they want? Man, we beat Miami. They could go tell their kids, man, we beat Miami, won't you? You don't believe that, do you? Here go the film. They got to show these kids because nobody else will believe it. But anyways, you know, so we got Judd in the class. Nothing else is really popping right now. We've got obviously
we got number one kicker.
yeah, he held it down for a minute too.
We've been had him. Cuz been holding it down. Right? Atlanta, what's his name though? What's his name? What's his name though?
I can't even tell
exactly.
You
name, exactly.
Number one kicker. That's his name.
Number one.
Abraham Murray or something like that.
Something like that. Something like that.
Yeah,
sure.
Murray.
So,
yeah, Murray is Abraham Murray.
Anyways, like I said, I wouldn't panic. Excuse me. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I do expect. I actually expect this class to be a little better than last year's. If I'm being honest with you, I think
we're not gonna get in panic mode because it's April. Last year at this time we were sitting at 60 something again last year at the time.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mario did his thing. You know, the one thing I kept telling people, I say, man, it's not gonna start happening until, you know, around summertime when Mario have these camps and these guys come down and he say, hey, look, take the official visit now, let's lock in, let's go. Locked
facts.
In April. Why? It's April.
Facts. Yeah, it ain't a lot to be learning this. That's actually what I'm transitioning to. So, spring ball, we're getting ready to wrap up the game. Unfortunately, I forgot I got a birthday party I got to go back home to. I actually was going to try to pull up for the game, but I forgot I told my friend that I pull up for a birthday party. So, you know, we're nearing the end of spring. You know, we got some bodies back out there. I think I want to go here is let's kind of, you know, and everybody can get their own, you know, name or two that they've heard. We'll kind of do it like a little round robin. Name that's kind of intrigued you or that's kind of popped out a little bit from spring that you find it interesting, intriguing, or promising, you know, however you want to look at it.
I'm going to go Bobby Washington.
All right. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I'm going to take Bobby. I felt like I was already high him coming out of high school. I felt he was underranked, but speed he's been flashing, which we need at linebacker. His frame could fill out a lot more, you know what I'm saying, just a freshman. But I've been hearing the coaches talk very highly on him, just seeing some clips, like I said, with his movement and everything.
Can I get my credit for Bobby, man?
Because I was talking about Bobby.
He was talking about Bobby
a long time ago.
I kept telling people, they like, man, no.
He only got three stars. He didn't get his fourth to real late, right. So that bothered him.
And he might be one of the fastest players on the team.
Absolutely,
man. Bobby running a 4.3 out there, man. He 4.3 in the guys out there.
Who you compared him to?
Come out of high school, I said, man, Bobby reminds me a lot of Willie Williams, and everybody just went crazy. And I had to explain. I didn't say he was good like Willie Williams. I said he's 6'3", 215 pounds, and run a 4.4. Willie Williams was 6'3", 220 pounds, and ran a 4.4. I said, that's the only reason why I compared him. I didn't compare that they play on the field. I just said, damn.
He fast. He's a rocket.
Yeah, that's going to be a bad boy,
Bobby started playing games. They started seeing him on film. They were like, oh, shit.
Man, he's a homing missile. Believe that. He is a homing missile.
He's coming.
He's a physical, fast guy. As long as he can learn to be disciplined when he needs to with the tackle, I think he can be a great impact player down the road. I think the only thing you got to really worry about that kid is always trying to deliver the big hit. And, you know, as you go up every level, that gets a little bit harder because these guys are a little bit quicker. So that shot you may take, he may glance it off. He may make a little wiggle and get loose. But, yeah, I like that name. D-Rob, who you got a name on defense maybe that you know, early on, like I said, we've been hearing, you know, maybe a little promise or you think could be an impact guy for us in defense.
To be honest, Meezy took mine. It's like I've been on that Bobby Washington train, man, since high school, like since that Palmetto. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go different. I'm going to say Reuben Bain. I mean, we've been hearing great things about Bain inside and out. Like
I put him down for 8 sacks, y'all. Remember that now.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to keep him off the field. So, like I said, I think they're going to start him out slow, but I think eventually towards the end of the year, he's not going to say he a starter, but he's going to take a whole lot of snaps from somebody.
I agree there. I really do think he can be – I think he could be a situational guy. Kind of think, you know, when I say eight, think Greg Rousseau, right? Remember, Greg Rousseau didn't start at first. We held him out for what the – not held out, but he didn't start until, like, game five, I want to say. And then he just got in there and
did that.
Danny Nunez. Yeah, the one that they let go. Sorry, Groove. Yeah, he loved Danny, man. Listen, I never said Danny wasn't the best, bro. But he ain't. I never said he was the worst, excuse me. It just wasn't the one, man. If you had a car and it was a Ferrari and you just upgraded, you was driving a Mercedes, but then you upgraded to a Ferrari, who you handing the keys to? A guy that's been driving a Ferrari before, so he knows how it turns, handles curves, or are you going to give it to a guy that's only been driving the Beamer? I'm just not giving my keys to the Beamer guy. I'm not saying the guy couldn't be successful. I got nothing against that dude. Much success to him. And I think maybe he will be in a head coaching position again. I just think it wasn't the time yet. Anyways, I will you go X, I go last. On defense.
Okay, so the question was you was asking on defense,
defense right now, yeah.
Standing out now?
Yeah, somebody that, you know, so far in spring think could probably, you know, as we actually get to the season, is a guy that early on you can kind of identify maybe a solid contributor for us that you may not necessarily everybody scream about.
I don't know if I could give two, but I'll give two. But the one I'm going to go with immediately, and it's not going to be a solid contributor. It's going to be maybe the biggest contributor on defense, Francisco. Kiko. He's going to be in immediately, and he's right now just. It's kind of like he's already planning himself to show he's stepping away from the rest of the room, because he just he fits the bill. He fits the linebacker criteria as far as prototype, big. He runs. He's knowledgeable. He's stepping up to be like a captain. Not saying that Corey Flagg isn't doing these things. You know what I'm saying? I just think he just has the physical traits that are a lot better.
Yeah, he's a little more gifted. And remember, he's a quarterback.
He's
going
to be...
A quarterback moving to defense is going to see a lot of things, you know.
A lot of things, yeah. So
a lot of things that other guys won't.
Guy I'm going to say that's going to be – he's going to be that immediately impact player at Mike Backer. The second guy we're throwing there is going to be Najee Kelly. Nice. I think he stepped his game up a whole lot. He's standing by Jason Taylor every chance he gets.
Mm-hmm.
And he's starting to learn that, you know, you can't – just do it on certain plays. You got to do it every play, you know. So now he's starting to he's showing that he's just, you know, that guy. I thought he was going to be that guy regardless because he just naturally gifted, but now he's starting to show you that he's that guy.
I like it. I'll round it off. Great answers from all y'all. Put me in a bad position where I had to come up with one more name, but that'll be a little bit more of a sneak attack. But I'm gonna go with Markieff Williams. I think he'll be playing sparingly, obviously. But he will be subbing. And, you know, we got to spell guys, right? I think his ball hawking ability could be tremendous for us. I think he's a guy that, from everything I heard, just his ability to track the ball in the air and just read stuff, I think he could be a guy that in limited appearances could pull down three or four picks for us this year that could flip the field and change things for us. So, you know, again, I'm not saying, you know, obviously we know who our starters at safety are going to be, right? Obviously it's going to be James and Cam. Cam's All-American.
Yeah, but I think it's going to be – it's probably going to be a lot of three safeties on the field at times.
Right. That's what I was about to say.
I think Coach Gilgey understands what James need to be. You know what I'm saying? Not saying James can't be back there roaming the back end, but I think he's more valuable to the team if he's roaming within that middle of the field, close to the line of scrimmage, you know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. Because he could do the same exact thing as go get the ball. But, I mean, he's 6'5", man. He's 6'5", 220, 225. Like, just... If you're a receiver or running back and you run across the middle of the field and you see a 6'5 guy, you really kind of look at him before that ball. You know what I'm saying? You're like, hold on. Is he going
to
hit me?
Yeah, you ain't trying to die. So... You ain't trying to die. So, I agree.
I think it's going to be a lot of three safety play. So, he'll have the opportunity. He's definitely going to have the opportunity.
Yeah, I like him to come in. Like I said, I think we can see three safety packages. Kind of actually what I anticipated a little bit more last year was Steele. I really thought Vontae was going to get out there a little bit more. That didn't turn out well. Vontae kind of actually seemed to regress under that staff. Where did he end up at? Did he find a home?
Vontae is at Maryland.
Maryland? Okay. Yeah. Okay. But that was another reason. And that, like I said, I just think his ability to, he's just a ball hawk. I think he'll get his opportunities on three safety packages, and I think spelling people. Make some plays there. On offense, I would probably say cross my heart, hope to die. My boy Chaney, man. Again, I'm a ring the bell for Chaney. I think a healthy Chaney is just a top running back. I really believe that. He was a five-star, you got to remember, until they bumped him at the end, at the very, very end of the rankings. So you're looking at a guy who's already a five-star kid. And early returns from what we're hearing from spring is he looks good, looks healthy, has good pop. He's everything you could want in running back as far as the ability to block, the ability to run, and the ability to catch the ball, right? So he's an every down back. All we need him to do is stay healthy. So he's kind of my guy that I think can shake it up a little bit this year, kind of shock the world somewhat, and put his name on the map. So that's where I would go on offense. Who you got? D-Rock.
On offense, I got Jacoby George.
That would be my second pick.
Yeah, he's been hearing a lot of good things about him. I think he's probably had turned the corner, you know what I'm saying, somewhat. He's just maturity. Probably need to get his weight up just slightly a little bit more. But other than that, man, I think he's going to do real good this year, man. He flashed the times that he did, the games he did play. I wondered, did he take a red shirt? Because he didn't play in that many games.
He should have, yeah, because he got suspended.
I think he only played like four games.
He didn't take no red shirt. I think he played more than five, I think.
He played, okay, because I know he got suspended and then he got injured. So I didn't think he played four games or five games, I'm sorry. Maybe he just got five games.
On the roster, it don't say red shirt sophomore. It's a third year junior. So I don't
know. Okay.
Because he was a COVID, year, right? Wasn't he a COVID year?
They came in that year, so they don't have the COVID year. They came in.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that was the year they entered. That's right. Yeah, okay. So that doesn't. They don't get that credit.
I got Jacoby George, man. I think he was my favorite receiver last year. You know what I'm saying? I wanted him to really, really show some this year. Hopefully, he gets that.
Good in the punt return game, too.
Yeah.
On the roster, it says third year junior. It don't say it normally will say like red shirt.
Yeah, so side.
Say R side.
So basically, he has two. Basically, junior, so basically, he still has, really 2 years. If
2 years,
red
shirt.
Another year. 2 years.
So, I like that, man. And something you said, now it's funny you said that because I actually read something today, I want to say maybe yesterday, where he said he has a son now. And I said, aha, here it is. Now you got a little extra inspiration to tighten up, fly right, shoot straight. It's bigger than you now. And I love to hear that. As a person that doesn't have any children, I've always said I have zero respect for parents who don't understand that once you have those kids, it's not about you no more. She's bigger than you now. Now it's, hey, I got to make sure my seed grows and has the most enriched environment that I could provide them. So when he actually said that, you know, he's saying, you know, I got a son now. I said, oh, that's what I want to hear. That lets me know he's putting some childish things away. You know, I don't even know what he got suspended for last year, but I'm sure it was childish, stupid stuff. And I think now when you get a guy like that, that understands, hey, man, this shit bigger than me now, that's what you want on that field. And I agree. I think Jacoby George could definitely be a guy that steps up and makes us that more dangerous. That's why I'm not super duper worried about the starters at wide receiver. Because if he plays like I think he can, ability-wise, I think he's a great number two. You got Restrepo on the inside. And if Kobe Young can continue to develop his game, then you're not really that bad 1-2-3. You're actually looking at a pretty decent 1-2-3 combo. Because Kobe Young showed us last year, man, he can go up high-pointed. He's got some speed. He's lost some weight. So it's like, hey, man, if this guy can take his game up another notch, Jacoby George takes his up another notch, Restrepo remains healthy, we got something there. You also got Bashard Smith, who's got that experience. And you look at the other guys that, you know, we're undersized a little bit maybe, or not even, don't even say undersized, but just we don't necessarily have the depth we want at the X.
They got some speed and they
know. We got some speed, right. We got some speed for sure. X, who would you kind of go with as a early on?
Man, you said the name that I would say, but I think that's an obvious. If he's healthy, I think he's just going to be that guy, Chaney. D-Rob said the other name that I would probably say, Kobe George. I still think he's receiver number one at the end of the day, because he's just one of those receivers who could get open, and he could make plays with the ball in his hand. You know, the difference between him and Young is, I think Young uses his size. He's going to be bigger than a defensive back. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be a lot easier for him to just catch the ball because he's bigger than him. He don't necessarily just say, let me run this route and get open. Maybe he does it a lot better this year. Obviously, I think like five receivers came out and said, man, Coach Kevin Beard is the best receiver coach they ever had. Right? But I'm going to go with, I'm going to go with three guys. I'm going to go with Brashad, Ray Ray, and Robbie.
Slot. Well, yeah. I think
Robbie hasn't been playing in the slot. Robbie hasn't been playing in the slot a lot. Robbie has been playing on the outside a lot.
Okay. That's something I was going to actually say. I was going to say, I actually think Robbie could play outside.
He could play all three.
And that's one thing I know. Canes fans, we get a little hooked up. We get a little caught up on size. And I'm like, well, I mean, hell, Santana Moss played, you know, wide receiver one in the NFL for quite some time. Steve Smith played wide receiver one in the NFL for quite some time. You're talking about 5'10 guys, and that's being nice. That's 5'9. Yeah,
Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill again. These are 5'9, 5'10 guys. That's being generous. These are not really big guys as far as height goes. What they do have is speed and route running ability. And I think we could have that in a Robbie Washington. Or is it Bobby? Which one is it?
No, it's Robbie. Robbie's
the wide route. Okay. Robbie's
on defense. Yeah, those three names I say is because I think Gilgi wants to get the ball to his playmakers in open field. Dawson. And those three guys are probably Dawson. I'm talking about Kiki. Yeah, Dawson. Those three guys are three of you know, the faster guys on the team that if you get them the ball and they open and they could make a guy miss, you see a lot of big play capabilities from those three guys, especially Robbie. Robbie's I didn't think he was, I'm not gonna say I didn't think he was that fast, because he's fast, like he's fast. Him and his brother are fast. That's, they got some damn good genes, man. They fast.
Yeah, he dad one no joke.
I talk
Ray Ray, man. Ray Ray is just probably the best. he's probably gonna be one of our best route runners. He's getting in and out of those cuts where he'll catch a little hitch or a little in, a drag, and then he might take that drag for like 30 because he just has that in him. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I gave those three names.
Ray Ray showed what he can do in the All Star game, man. We were running jet sweeps and all that. Yeah, yeah. Like.
It's talent, man.
Yeah,
it's talent there.
We good in the slot with him, X, and Brashard. Like, the slot is like, we probably got one of the best slot watching rooms in the nation, probably. That's just me being honest.
And I'm never afraid of, like I said, I mean, I mentioned it on here at least a dozen times. I'm a Niners fan, bro. Ain't none of our wide receivers 6 foot. Yeah, I bet you we'll cut your ass. I bet you don't want too much smoke. If you're creative in how you use these guys and how you get the ball to them, and these guys that run crisp routes, they'll get the separation. That's bigger than just, like, you know, X just said, Kobe Young could use his body. But if you got a guy like a Ray Ray that's just able to just confuse his defender and get him off his square, and then he's able to catch that ball and make something happen, that's just as important, if not bigger, honestly. I would say it's bigger than just having a guy that can pluck the ball out there, because we've seen that guy fail 1,000 times. So give credit for those guys and what they're able to do. So we do have a spring game coming up. Actually, Maul joined us. Maul, you want to kick in at all? Meezy, we lost Meezy. I don't know if you want to kick in. He was able to join us as we kind of getting towards the end. Did you want to chip in right there, bro? I think you muted.
Yeah, I could jump in really quick. yeah, man. What's up, everybody? Just in terms of who's gonna step up in this season of offense?
Yeah, just early. Early feeling about, you know, maybe somebody that is an unsung hero at this point.
Man, I guess I want to say Skinner, just to try to say a different kind of name, because I feel like somebody's going to have to take over as a tight end as well. And with the Royals' health, we can't necessarily rely on him. If he's healthy, he can give you the best of both worlds. But can Skinner make catches? But is he going to be good enough to block this year? And if he can do that, I think that'll be the guy, because then he's going to make it. He's going to allow Dawson to create a lot of mismatches if he's able to, you know, block and do other things too.
Just catch. I don't need you.
What I seen Dawson doing, and I said this, and I think Rozier has said it also. He said, man, maybe they use Skinner the same way that Rick used, what's the guy name? Ajoku. Either put Ajoku in the slot or put him on the outside. Do not line him up at tight end. You know what I'm saying? Because he is not blocking anybody. So just let him go ahead and be in the slot, which they've been working him in the slot a lot too. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, that's another name that could be, you know what I'm saying, making some impact. He's going to have to make impact, especially because I don't think 84, that other guy, you know, the older guy, is going to be anything.
McCormick.
You know, our lady. Yeah, they might leave him wide open like he's shooting a three. Hey, man, go
ahead. You know, he might catch the ball. Hey, X, and the funny thing is, you said that about Skinner with the comparison to Joku. I don't know if you remember, but we played against Syracuse, I think, 1 year. And, bro, Rick ran like three straight bubble screens with Njoku, bro. He got like 15, 20 yards each time. Like, he just kept running it back to back to back because they couldn't stop him. It would have to be Syracuse or Georgia Tech, but I'm pretty sure it was Syracuse.
Athleticism.
I don't think he's that physically gifted, because Njoku was, you know, he was just muscle bound. Yeah. He just was a physical beast. I think Skinner probably is I can't say he's just as fast, because Joker was a 4.45 guy. But Skinner's, you know, Skinner just looks a lot more comfortable running routes. You know what I'm saying? So if he could be consistent out there, then he's going to be a mismatch for a lot of teams.
All right, man, let's wrap it up. I will ask, it's kind of be our final roundabout. We're getting out of here. Now, obviously, the other Maui goal is going to be impact too. I think he starts, and if not, he's definitely our sixth guy. I'm so interested in seeing what happens when we get Zion back. That's going to be super interesting to me, but that's a story for another time when we get them back. So spring game is this Friday. Friday, right? Yeah. Spring game is this Friday.
7:30. So yes, Friday, 7:30. April 14th, 7:30 at, I guess how you pronounce it. I just call it Pink Stadium.
Pink Stadium. Yeah, I think everybody calls it Pink Stadium.
That's the soccer stadium. It's at 7:30. I think they open, you know, for everybody to start parking around 3:30. So, you know, if you want to get out there at 3:30, a few people saying they're going to be tailgating. Shouts out to JD, the Metro Rail boys. I'm going to probably end up pulling up to theirs. I am not wasting any money tailgating for spring this year.
I did it last year. Like I said, I still try to flip that, bro.
Yeah, for the ones that can't make it, the spring game will be on ACC Network, 7:30.
All right. Look, we graduated. Okay, so no Telemundo.
Finally.
No Telemundo, baby.
No Valley Sports.
Yeah, no Nickelodeon. Yeah, Valley Sports. And then Valley Sports is like going under. So
yeah,
I was like, oh, we're going to be on TV now.
Yeah.
That's the other thing about last year. Yeah, we got to get off Valley Sports, bro. Come on. We got to do better than that.
Yeah.
Now, I ask everybody real quick and we'll get out of here. What are you looking to take away from the spring game? It's not obviously you can't gauge a lot from the spring game. Obviously, it's us versus us. But what would be the one thing you kind of want to see in the spring game?
I would say for me, consistency. A little bit better quarterback play. Just want to see, you know, where those guys is, how far they've came, you know, since they installed this new offense. You know, just want to get something that we can be excited about. You know, that last year offensively was terrible. You know, we see something a little different in the spring, which they're probably not going to show much anyway. But if we can just see something where it's like, okay, you know, they're making better reads, you know, TVD throwing a little bit more zip or Ja'Kari throwing a little bit more accuracy. You know, that's something we want to see. You know, a little development. And no injuries. Like let's come out this thing healthy. I think we've dealt with enough injuries over the last year or so. You know, spring we missing, you know, Leonard Taylor, a couple other guys that still haven't, that pretty much been out the whole spring. Just get some of these guys healthy, man, and walk out of this thing, you know, 100%. Well, I ain't gonna say 100%, but you know, more healthy than before. Yeah. And just keep it rocking.
That's what's up, man. Yeah, looking at you, mustache. I need a little bit more healthiness out of this squad this year. I agree with you there. Quick piggyback off your point so we can move on. I would say I agree with you for the most part. My biggest thing is out of spring, I just want to see just some signs of life on offense. That's all I care about. It doesn't need to be any, like, wouldn't have to be super explosive per se, because again, it's spring, you ain't doing a lot. But I do want to see some life on offense because last year was super depressing. So if I get to see nothing else, I want to see a pulse on offense. But I'll let you go next, X.
Yeah, I'm with you both. I need them to be healthy. I need to see the offense making plays, you know, can't be stagnated, trying to rely on trick plays and stuff like that. But the one thing that I did hear Mario say is, he's saying he don't want it just to be a spring game. He want those guys to go out there and work and battle and make plays. So he said he wants them to be live, you know what I'm saying? So I don't expect it to just be a watered down spring game, just, you know, let's just get through it. I think he's really going to try to prove, but show that, you know, this isn't the same team like last year. You know, we're going to come and get something different. as far as the fans, you know what I'm saying? Because the fans are the ones really upset that we had to sit through a 5-7 season. You know what I'm saying? Right. So,
you know. So he want to show a little attitude, man, a little identity, some physicality. Yeah, I get that. A little pop. So, let's not just walk by each other because it's spring. You know? Because people get hurt, right, playing football. But most of the time, it's just something tricky happens. It ain't really because, you received a big hit. You know, it's maybe your cleat planted weird and twisted your ankle or your knee.
You out there, that type of things happen. You out there pussyfooting, what we used to call it back in the day.
Right, and you get hurt more like that, right? Absolutely, I agree. So I like that from Mario. I agree. There's nothing wrong with showing some energy, some excitement, and some pop, man. You know, show a little something out there. Nobody wants to get hurt, but again, yeah, I agree with you, man. Playing half-assed a lot of times is how you get hurt. So head on a swivel, go out there, just play football. Just play football. What you got there, Mar?
For me, I want to see the coordinators coordinate. Like I remember when last he was here, he would, you know, King would throw a touchdown. He was involved. And I felt like last season there was a big disconnect from the coordinators to the players. I want to see how these guys coach. I want to see if they engaging with the players or the players engaging with them. If a player makes a good play, he's dapping up his coach. Because last year we had none of that. If, you know, your offensive coordinator was up there. And so that's what I want to see. I want to see how these coaches, especially the new guys, are just meshing with the players to see, you know, are these players going to play for their coaches, and are these coaches going to coach for their players?
No, I think that another great point, man. I think it's super important. Something we definitely seen to hear from last year's squad was everybody just didn't jive very well. What I'm hearing more now is, Guidry comes in. He's kind of a more lighthearted guy. Not that he doesn't call for accountability, but a little more laid back. And what I'm kind of hearing is it feels like it's rubbing off on Mario a little bit. I don't know,
Larry R. Man.
A little bit.
Not the rub off. The part you said about Gilgi. Gilgi is he's fiery out there, man. He's fiery.
I hear he's fun though. Like, so I don't know, and that's the thing. You can do both.
He's fun. But I think a lot too is, it's not intimidating, but it's like, man, we can't mess up, man.
Because intense, right?
In our chest, he's coming right to get in our chest immediately.
You can be both,
and the fact that he's like that, and Adai is like that, so that right there is kind of like, boy, you know. So especially the DB, because guess what? They both coach the DBs.
Yeah, and safeties, right?
Secondary is looking like, boy, we can't go out there and mess up because we got two coaches who really are coming our chest and say, hey, you fucked up. You know what I'm saying? Sit your ass down and keep
it. Tighten up. Right. No, I like that though. And I think, you know, some of the earlier reports is this staff just jives better. So, you know, you add Jason Taylor, he's been a guy that, you know, seems to fit the culture and the personality of what they're trying to do around there. You know, Woodell, however you say his name, I'll get it right eventually. So, yeah, I'm with you, Marl. I like to see some cohesion there and some synergy there. I think that was definitely lacking last year. I think you brought in a lot of dinosaurs that were accustomed to having a bunch of top-flight athletes and weren't used to actually coaching. They were just used to play calling because all they had was the best of the best. So they didn't really have to do a lot of coaching up. It was just, ooh, this is the play call. And I think they were a little sour. I think they were a little spoiled and was like, man, this sucks. You know, you heard that Gattis said that to the wide receiver room, it's the worst wide receiver room I ever had or ever seen or something like that. Now, that's alleged. I don't know that to be a fact, but that was something that came out of that and wouldn't surprise me. So, anyways, man, that's plenty, man. That's plenty. We're going to get up out of here. Any shout-outs before we get out of here, man?
Shout out to everybody who been rocking with us, man. 26 degrees. Shout out to everybody who been rocking with me, Caneville, Footwellville.
Know that. Tap in.
Shout out to the moms who keep hitting me up trying to get their sons some scholarships. Hey.
See? See? Yo, I got see, hit my line. I'll see what I can do for you.
What? Hey, you see my tweet, man. I was like, damn, man, these mamas be trying to get me to call this coach. And guess what? I get on the phone. Hey, coach, bro, I got somebody for you.
Yeah, man, look, if Expo ever get hacked,
just call him and text. Boy.
The shit, we'll see you now.
That's crazy. I want to shout out Judd Anderson, man. First, committing a long time. Ride with you, young fella. I hope you prove all the haters wrong, man. Real rap.
Same thing, man. Hey, shout out to y'all and y'all families on this beautiful Easter day.
Yes, again, sir.
You know, happy Easter to y'all. You know, shout out to the fans for supporting. You know, got to get these fans up. You know, this is one of the main Kane podcasts that's for us. You know,
yes, sir. So
appreciate the support that's been coming in, and hopefully we get more support, whether you like some of us or you don't. You know, just, hey, support what we're doing. Well, support yes, what they're sir. Doing. You
tell
know,
the homies, man. Tell the homies. Real right. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Tell the homies. And for Judd, you know, like I said, a lot of prove us wrong, man. You know what I'm saying? Sir. I mean, that's all you can do now. Like I said, I mean, coaches know what you're about.
Let me stop you there. Don't. Okay, not to say this bad, but you don't got to prove us wrong. Prove, just, you know what I'm saying? You got something to prove to yourself and your teammates.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
That's it.
Fans, one thing about fans is if you do good, we gonna celebrate you. You know what I'm saying? If you do bad, you know, you're just going to get criticized. That's just the nature
that's
of fans.
That's how it go.
When you wake up every day, prove to yourself, because it's always doubters. Even if you're a 5-star, it's doubters. Even if you're a 3-star, it's doubters. So just prove to yourself that you are who you think you could be.
No doubt, man. Well said, well said. All right, man. Let's get up out of here, man. I'm about to go get me something to eat. Feel me?
Yeah, man, I'm slack, man. My mama and them just called me talking about they cooking at my sister's house, so I'm finna slide.
Let's get it. In these streets. With Easter, a nice plate.
Yeah.
My boy, I'm about to hook a steak up. You know what I mean? A little steak and Caesar salad, something light. Nothing crazy. Just me. All right, man.
Look.
Go ahead, bro.
Anybody who coming down on Thursday, you know, if y'all want a pregame, y'all know where I'm at on Thursday. I'm gonna definitely be at the spot. You know what I'm saying? And then Friday, if y'all want to slide afterwards, it's no biggie. Just let me know.
Yeah. Tap in. You with the general. All right, man. This is another episode of 26 Degrees. We love y'all. We'll be back next week, man. Peace.
We're going to let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.